KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a few sprinkles, and it's 40 degrees in Atlantic. So far, we picked up 63 one-hundredths of an inch, 57 one-hundredths up until 7 a.m., our 24-hour reset time. And since then, we picked up an additional 6 one-hundredths of an inch. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Our forecast is calling for cloudy skies with rain today, a high around 48. Radar shows showers primarily off to our east, so some light sprinkles and widely scattered showers off to the west. The bulk of the activity is moving to the north northeast this morning. In area news, the house where Iowa's infamous axe murders took place more than a century ago is one of the focal points of this weekend's paranormal summit. Two adults and six children were slaughtered in 1912, that is, within a two-story house in Villisca. Dave Paris, who oversees the conference, says paranormal investigators will be presenting evidence from several mysterious locations.
One of them deals with Villisca, the axe murder house, and we actually have some really interesting imagery that has been collected.
Some believe the house is a hotspot for otherworldly activity because the murders were never solved. Paris says a second undisclosed Iowa site will be featured at the summit, which draws the curious from all across the region.
Another investigation took place in a town in Iowa in an old building, and we actually have thermal infrared pictures of literally a ghost that goes across the shelving units.
The Paranormal Summit is being held on Friday. That's Friday the 13th, by the way, on the campus of the University of Nebraska at Omaha. Paris, an adjunct professor of geography and meteorology, is faculty advisor for the UNO Paranormal Society. He says they seek out logical, scientific, rational explanations for the various phenomena.
We're highly skeptical about everything, and we actually use science to try to drive down into what's the real deal here into the investigation. Is it valid, or are we just collecting a bunch of nothing?
At the annual summit, there will be a presentation at 6 p.m. Friday about the investigations conducted across the region in the past year, and people will be shown the equipment that's used. Afterward, they'll get a chance to use that equipment on what's known as a ghost hunt on the Omaha campus.
The ghost hunt is going to begin at 9 o'clock, and that way it gives a little bit more time to go to the various sites around campus that we've detected activity.
And believers and doubters are all welcome. The event is open to the public and will be held at the CPACS building at the UNO. Admission is $10, and all the proceeds go toward the American Red Cross for hurricane relief. A report of a party in Carson where persons underage were present resulted in three people being cited into court for minor in possession. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said yesterday the deputies were dispatched at around 12:45 a.m. Sunday to a location at the corner of North and Commercial Streets in Carson. Inside a home at 111 North Street in Carson, there were open beer cans all over the interior. 22-year-old Lucas Tanner Freeman of Carson was taken into custody for contributing alcohol to minors. Authorities said 20-year-old Dustin Ryan Smith of Oakland, 19-year-old Carly Renee Apley of Hancock, 19-year-old Morgan Cecilia Gentile Turner of Oakland, and a 17-year-old female from Carson were all cited for minor in possession. The 17-year-old was referred to juvenile court and then turned over to her parents. The Mills County Sheriff's Office said yesterday the driver of a 2003 Dodge was injured during a rollover accident early Saturday morning. 37-year-old Helen Tupper of Malvern was traveling south on 15th Street near Junkie when she fell asleep at the wheel. Her vehicle crossed the center line, entered a ditch, and flipped over, landing on its top. Tuber was transported to Jenny Edmondson Hospital by Malvern Rescue. Two other drivers were cited following separate accidents in Mills County. 32-year-old Troy Grindle of Glenwood and 24-year-old Elizabeth Ball of Omaha were both cited for failure to maintain control following accidents that happened October 5th and 7th, respectively. Neither driver was injured. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer reports two recent arrests. On Friday evening, 59-year-old Robin Clark Latham of rural Brattyville was arrested following a traffic stop. Latham was arrested for driving while license is revoked and possession of drug paraphernalia. She was also cited for speeding. Latham was transported to the Page County Jail and held on a $1,300 bond. And early Saturday morning, deputies with the Page County Sheriff's Office responded to a vehicle that was stopped in the traveled portion of the intersection of Highways 2 and 59. Deputies made contact with the driver, 58-year-old Richard Donnelly of Fort Collins, Colorado, and during their investigation, they determined Donnelly was intoxicated. He was arrested for OWI first offense and transported to the Page County Jail, where he later posted a $1,000 bond pending future court appearances. Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office Monday released a report on several recent arrests that had taken place. Officials said 19-year-old Jonathan Allen Johnson of Carson was arrested Saturday evening for driving while revoked. 30-year-old Joey Lee Ranney Jr. of Council Bluffs was arrested Sunday afternoon for driving while barred. Ranney was also cited for speeding and failure to provide proof of insurance. At around 6:15 p.m. Sunday, 34-year-old Jacob Cannon Summers of Glenwood was arrested for driving while license revoked. 46-year-old Peter Eugene Jeffrey of Council Bluffs was arrested for violation of a no-contact order, contempt of court. And an inmate at the Pott County Jail, 46-year-old Sean Leon Sweet of Council Bluffs, was charged with serious assault causing injury after he allegedly assaulted a 50-year-old male inmate. The incident was captured on a surveillance system. Two people were arrested on separate drug charges in Mills County. The sheriff's office reports 42-year-old Justin Allen Grafenstein of Pacific Junction was arrested following an incident, or accident that is, that happened at I-29 at around 1:46 a.m. Friday, where his SUV struck a cable barrier. He was charged with OWI third offense and possession of a controlled substance. Grafenstein's bond was set at $6,000. And at around 5:23 a.m. Sunday, or make that Saturday, 24-year-old Du Kerr Pooch of Omaha was arrested following a traffic stop, also on I-29. Pooch was charged with possession of a controlled substance. Bond was set at $1,000. And the Union County Sheriff's Office reports 49-year-old Robert Michael Madison Sr. of Lorimore was arrested Friday night at the Union County Law Enforcement Center. Madison Sr. was taken into custody on a Union County warrant for a sex offender registration violation. He was later released on a $2,000 bond. The Iowa Department of Corrections reports Andrew James Nielsen, who was convicted of burglary in the first degree in Webster County and prohibited acts drug-related in Fayette County, failed to report back to the Fort Dodge Residential Center as required last night. Nielsen is a 40-year-old white male, 5 feet 9 inches tall, weighing 167 pounds. He was admitted to work release facility on July the 20th. Persons with information about Nielsen's whereabouts should contact their local law enforcement agency. Elsewhere in state news, the head of a mental health crisis center in southern Iowa expects that it will close at the end of the month due to a lack of funding. Jackie Sharp is executive director of Oak Place in Centerville. She says after a grant ran out, the regional mental health authority has refused to fill the funding gap. State officials haven't set up rules that would let Oak Place bill Medicaid for services to patients.
I don't put a lot of faith in us continuing after October 31st. I think my alternate plan is to take care of the graduates that we've had and help my staff transition.
The center opened 3 years ago and has won praise for providing economical care in rural Iowa, where mental health treatment options are scarce.
Without funding, we're closed. And I have a fear for the other 10 crisis stabilization homes in the state that they will follow our lead and close due to lack of funding.
Sharp made her comments on Iowa Public Radio's River to River program. The Centerville facility serves patients from Appanoose County and three other neighboring counties. Advocates say once the center closes, the state will pay about $900 per day for psychiatric hospital stays for a Medicaid patient who'd get significantly less expensive care closer to home in Centerville. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.